You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
No, that's the wrong one, Leonie, have I? We had our other look a few weeks ago, but we are still looking. She has got it on there. Talk among yourselves. I've no idea. It's in my office. I've gone off. Oh, that's better. Yeah. They'll put the flash drive on as it comes, and then I'll carry on, and we'll pick it up from when they get the thing for us to follow through. But I've got some scripture we'll be reading a little bit later on. So anyway, the title of the message today, which you would have seen, is "The Church. How did you get that from this?" It's a bit cryptic, isn't it? The church, how did you get that from this? But first of all, I just want to give a little government health warning. I'm not discouraged. I'm not being condemning or critical. In fact, I'm quite excited. It's not a midlife crisis. Past that anyhow. But somebody suggested it might have been the other day. I want you to hear my heart as I share, and I hope you will be inspired and challenged to be part of what God wants to do to bring change and transformation to our town and to our country. Is that okay? If we want to see change out there, it starts in here. So I just want you to know I'm okay. All right? I'm okay. I say that in the context of what I want to be sharing. So with the small print out of the way, oh, here we are, thank you, Leonie. So with the small print out of the way, you will have picked up over the last few weeks, I'm really quite stirred about church. And if I'm really honest, I don't feel I'm getting the message across, or at least I don't feel that we're able to catch where I'm coming from on this. And I worry that we can just speak words, but words don't touch hearts, and if they don't touch hearts, nothing changes. You see, we need revelation, and we've been praying that prayer from Paul in Ephesians about opening the eyes of our heart to see. We need revelation to see the glory of the church, to see the hope to which we've been called, to see the beauty and yet simplicity of church. Ordinary men, ordinary women, and children saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We've been called for purpose, called to be loved by God. He called us to be loved by him, to be part of his family. But we've been called to love as well, called to be his body. In some ways, like a literal body, we are his mouthpiece. We are his feet. We are his hands. We are his heart, ministering blessing, blessed to be a blessing. And sometimes it's like we act as if we don't quite get what we're here for. So forgive me for reminding us again of maybe some fairly basic stuff if you've been around in the church for a while. And if you've not been around in the church, maybe you'll begin to understand what there is that some of us get quite excited about. So Stephen last week was talking about, from Matthew 16, Jesus said he's going to build his church. And he said, I'm going to give you the keys, authority and power, to allow and to forbid, to loose and to bind. There's prayers of declaration when spoken with faith affect the spiritual realms, which affect the earthly realms. But the challenge is, I just feel we make it so complicated. And we've been blinded by and large. We've got religious about church. What Jesus had in mind was something altogether non-religious. We've replaced church with buildings or religious meetings. And when he said he's going to build his church, I don't think he had that in mind at all. I'm not sure he'd even thought about denominations and headquarters. I'm not sure about fancy dress and robes and hats came into his thinking, let alone the religious symbols and steeples and holy altars and holy water. Where do we get all of that from? And yet if you were to ask the majority of people outside, that would be what church is all about. Rebecca was getting, we need some money for the pavilion, so thank you for your offering today. We want to put some gates at the front and the back and to secure the car park, having had some stuff stolen from there and things like that. And one of the people who was quoting said to Rebecca, if you'd like, I could put a nice cross on the gates for you. I said, Rebecca, no thank you. We don't want a cross on those gates. Why would we want a cross on those gates? Well, maybe you think that would be a nice thing to do, but no. We don't want a cross on the gates. I like this one here. This is a bit of a rugged cross, which is a little bit more like what it would have been that Jesus died on. I quite like the one out in the front. In fact, I like the one out in the front very much at night. There's a cross there shining down the Oxford Road. You can see it from Broad Street. You can almost see it from the station as well. It's shining in the midst of darkness. That's how I see this. Eh? There's light here. There's hope here. There's a place of people of God here who can do you good. But I don't want, it's not a religious symbol for me. Really, that is for those that don't know what this building's all about. And they would connect with that. You see, there's nothing in the New Testament that touches on anything like these things. In some churches, only priests can take communion. In the New Testament, they all took communion. And in their homes, with their meals, it was just an ordinary part of life. We've made it religious. In some churches, bishops have to come and do baptisms. In the New Testament, any leader baptized anybody, anywhere. In a bath, in a pool, in the River Jordan, wherever there was water, people got baptized. It wasn't like special water and there was no little crosses on people's foreheads. And it was immersion. Did you hear what I'm saying? I think we've just religiousized so much of church and lost this gritty, earthy, supernatural people group that Jesus had in mind when he said he's going to build his church. We were born so much more than all of that. Born to be a light shining in darkness. To be salt of the earth. Flavoring. Preserving. Infiltrating like yeast. Our homes, our society. With the kingdom of God, goodness, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You're very quiet. I hope you're saying, yes, Nev, I hear what you're saying. I want to change because we need to change. I just want to show you a little clip. It's just 3 minutes or so from a guy called Francis Chan. He's an American pastor. Actually, he was a pastor of a mega church, 3,000 or so people in the States. Very successful, very popular pastor. He's given up all of that and started again because he was frustrated with how people were seeing church. And he wanted us to bring in a different expression of church. So, Leonie, if we could play that clip for me, please, I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
And the good news is this, it does happen in other parts of the world. You know, I mean, we left America for a little bit, and I went to Asia because I thought, man, I've always heard about the underground church in China. I want to see it. And I was blown away. And I go, wow, that looks just like what I read about. It finally makes sense. Then I went to India, and I spoke at a conference for the persecuted church, people who had lost their lives, their relatives. They watched their relatives die, people that were missing limbs, people with scars on their body, beaten for their faith. And I was so blown away that I asked the leader, because after a week there, I'm going, it seems like everyone's serious about God here. Where are the casual ones? There's got to be. And he says, well, actually, there aren't. He goes, that doesn't make sense in this region. Why would you casually become a Christian? You lose everything. You lose your job, you lose your home, you get ostracized from your village. Look at all these people. They had to flee into the jungles for their lives. Why would you casually do that? I thought, wow. Now, when I was at the underground church in China, they said it's a little dangerous. You know, this is where they're training some of the missionaries. And so I didn't take my whole family. I just took my oldest daughter because she's the most expendable. And so we go and, firstborn. And so we go and, man, I wish I could transport you there. I wish you could have just walked into this environment and listened to the way they prayed. Listen to the way they sought after God. Listen to their testimonies. They start talking about different times when the police came after them because they were, gunshots. And they're just talking about, not in the solemn way, but with joy. Like, man, it was awesome. They were firing as we're running, And I'm just wanting to hear more and more and more. And they finally asked me a question. They're like, why are you so interested in this? And I said, because this is not the way it is in America. And they're like, really? I go, in America, we have these buildings called churches. And we actually just attend there for like an hour, hour and a half a week. And we switch, like if there's a better speaker at a different one, we'll go to that one. And if there's better music at another one, we'll go to that one. If we get in a fight with someone, we'll switch to this one. If the child care is better. And these people just start laughing. Not like giggling, but like hysterically. And I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just explaining why it was so intriguing to me. I go, this is... But they were literally laughing to the where... My daughter, when we left, she was, 16 or so, 14. She says to me, Dad, that was weird. I go, I know. She goes, did you see the way they were laughing and you weren't even being funny? I go, exactly. But they thought it was comical. Because they're going, how did you get that from this?
How did you get that from this? That's the question I'm putting to us today. How have we settled for something so far distant from what we read in here? And we want to see Reading changed. And we want to see our nation changed. We want to see our family saved. But we've settled for something down here rather than the picture we see in Scripture for church. Hence the title of my message today. How did you get that from this? And that's our challenge. The Chinese thought it was really funny that we would go to church. For them, it was a lifestyle. And I wonder what heaven makes of our understanding and expression of church. I was thinking, how come we have drifted so far from the original, simple, Jesus-following, radical, passionate assembly Jesus founded and that we see expressed in the book of Acts? How come we've settled for things which have no resemblance to what was experienced in the New Testament? And one thing that stands out to me as I look at the Bible, and it's happening downstairs hopefully today, is encounter. The importance of encounter or baptism in the Holy Spirit. We'll see how the church was birthed in a moment, but it was birthed with a supernatural encounter. That was normal New Testament Christianity. And this simple, normal New Testament Christianity filled Jerusalem with the gospel. It was powerful. They touched the nations of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it all started with everyone having a powerful encounter with God. That's what was expected. Radical, powerful encounters. A filling of the Holy Spirit. We've even swapped that for coming forward for prayer and feeling a little touch, maybe feeling a little sense of peace. And we think we've had our encounter. That's good. That's good. But we need more than just that little touch. We need an immersion in the Holy Spirit, just like normal New Testament Christians experienced. Amen? So have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, I went up for prayer. I fell over. No. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? That's the question we need to ask. That's what I think is the major difference between the church that we see in the Acts and most of the church we experience today. It seems in the New Testament, they knew when he had come. So they go and they preach the gospel just shortly after persecution broke out in Jerusalem. They go and preach the gospel in Samaria. The apostles go and people are responding to the message of Jesus. They are getting saved. But there was something missing. And the disciples, they realized something was missing. They said, but they're not getting the Holy Spirit. How can we get them to get the Holy Spirit? How did they know? Because there was a lack. They could see a lack there. In Acts chapter 19, I think it is, there was a group, happened to be 12 guys, who'd come from Ephesus. And Paul sees these Christians. And he sees a lack in their lives. And he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They become Christian. They knew about Jesus. They knew about God. They knew about the gospel. Many churches don't even know there is a Holy Spirit in experience. They know the Trinity includes the Holy Spirit. I was brought up in one of those churches. We never talked about the Holy Spirit. And Paul prays for these 12 Christians. Well, he gets them baptized in the name of Jesus. And then he lays his hands on them. And something happens. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And they spoke in tongues. And they prophesied. There was a supernatural burst as God came. The same happened in those ones in Samaria, which I talked about. Well, it might not have been the same manifestation, but they sent for the apostles from Jerusalem. Guys, these people have become Christians, but they've not experienced an encounter. So they brought the apostles over and they laid their hands on them. And something so tangible happened that one of the guys who'd just become a Christian, he used to be a sorcerer, he said, Peter, here's a fiver. Give me this power so that I can also release the Holy Spirit like you're doing. He must have seen something. There was something tangible and noticeable. I mean, he got the wrong end of the stick and Peter had to rebuke him. But what I'm pointing out was, it wasn't just faith. It was faith and experience. Something happened. And I just feel we settle for faith without the experience. And I don't think we're going to touch Reading without that experience. God coming powerfully into our lives. Faith's important, but it goes together. And we sometimes say, well, it doesn't matter if you don't feel anything. Receive in faith. And I know that's very pastoral, and I've said it as well, because we want to look better than how it's all turned out. But I think some Christians have settled for, well, I got prayed for in faith. I received the Holy Spirit. Well, what's changed? Well, in faith, I'm believing I'm different. No. You will be transformed. You will be transformed. The more you receive of him, the more you change. What's the evidence is a good question to ask. Nearly 40 years ago, a shy teenager was simply playing a guitar. Not very well, actually. With a small group of friends in a little church after a church service. This young man had been quite rebellious. He'd been quite critical of this strange expression of Christianity where people raised hands and they spoke in tongues. He was much more comfortable with his hands in his pocket and wondered what all the fuss was about. But as he was playing his guitar after some baptisms had just taken place, he came. Suddenly, supernaturally, God descended into that room. And for that young man, everything changed. It was unexpected. He hadn't been praying. It was like Jesus said, it's a gift from heaven for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Love filled that young man's heart. Love for God, like he'd never known before. Worship before was songs. Next one, next one, next one. When are you going to finish? I like to teach. Just songs. Now it was heartfelt. This young man couldn't wait to worship. He loved God. He didn't know how to express it on that evening, and anybody that moved, he wanted to hug and just express love because the love of God was being shed abroad in his heart. He had to hug someone. Something changed. Later, he didn't know what was happening. Somebody said, well, you must have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was new language. He didn't understand what that meant. And then his parents began to ask the leaders of the church, what's happened to my son? He's different. Something's come. What's happened to him? And they were able to talk. Parents from a traditional church were able to talk and listen to what had happened. The testimony was in the life. It wasn't in the falling over. But what matters is how you get up. What's happened on the inside? Has God changed you? That's what he comes to do. And when he comes, when he baptizes, everything changes. We all need a baptism. Now, I've been talking about being, you know, I'm not talking about when we're born again. When we're born again, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the church. We talked about that, didn't we? We're immersed into this amazing people group. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm not talking about that. That happens to every one of us. I'm talking about a baptism from high. I'm talking about an encounter with God. I'm talking about transformation. And it starts with encounter. It's fire, it's passion in our hearts. And if the fire's gone out, we have a responsibility, church, to keep it burning, because there's people out there which need to hear this message. There's people in your workplaces that need to know. There's families that need to be saved. But if the fire's gone out, there's nothing to see. There needs to be a passion. There needs to be a fire inside. Amen. We need to cry out for more of him, for more revelation. And if we have the fire, let it burn. It's contagious. It's contagious. Let it burn. Mix and dwell among those with passion for God, and you'll catch it too. But we need the fire. You see, we need revelation. We need an encounter. And once you've tasted, you can't go back. I hear the words, settle down there, settle down, relax. It's not too bad. Look at this building. Look, the church is growing. Look, there's more cell leaders. There's nearly 20 people being trained on equipping for destiny. There's 20 people or so on encounter this weekend. There's so many community initiatives. Nev, chill. And you know, I want to say, I know. I love this church. It's a good church. I love Life Spring. But I've tasted more. And I can't settle. Because this hasn't changed Reading yet. Our expression hasn't touched who it needs to touch. And I'm not settling. And I want to be, I'm not settling, I want to be what I'm not. I want us to be what we're not. In fact, Reading needs us to change. I mean, thank God Reading's not relying on Life Spring Church. There's lots of other churches in the town too. But Reading needs to see New Testament Christianity if we're going to see New Testament results. And I think we expect New Testament results, multitudes finding God, deliverance, healing, baptisms in the Holy Spirit, lives completely transformed and changed without doing that ourselves. And we've settled for a more mediocre, wishy-washy expression of church. The enemy loves that. I think he's quite happy with that. You just come along and sing in the pavilion. You just play a few songs. You just treat church like the Pastor Chan, the Americans do. We just come for an hour and a half a week, and we'll be safe. The enemy will be safe. But when we say it's not an hour and a half a week, it's 24/7. He's formed a people which is church everywhere we go. taking his life, taking his presence, taking his power, taking the God of miracles with us wherever we go. Church is so much more than that religious irrelevance. It's the hope of the world. His church shines like light in darkness. Do you shine like light in darkness in your workplace? His church has power to set captives free. His church is all about Jesus. In fact, if you've seen his church, you've seen him. And how many people will look at us and think, now I know what Jesus is like. But we're the body of Christ. We are his representative. People should go into our homes and think, I see Jesus in this place. This is the church. This is his body. They're acting like he acted. Amen. That's what the church needs. The church, Paul tells us, displays the wisdom of God to the demons and the principalities, but also to all the people groups and all the nations. God loves his church. I love the church. Oh, I'm running out of time. Let's go back to the beginning. I really have. Let's look at the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Notice all of them. Just imagine if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." What an incredible phenomenon. What a start. I don't know if I would have thought of that if it wasn't, you know, God's way beyond us. But the church was birthed in this totally supernatural expression. Frightened for their lives just a few weeks earlier, locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Then, whoosh, the wind came, the sound of a gale and tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Their bodies couldn't cope with this supernatural impartation. They appeared drunk. They probably couldn't stand up very well. They probably were slurring their voices. They couldn't speak very well, their speech, because humanity was unable to cope with this supernatural outpouring of God into those lives. And to those that didn't have any idea what was happening, it looked like they'd just come out of a pub. It looked like they were drunk. And Peter begins to explain. He said, no. This is what the Holy Spirit, what Joel promised. This is here in the Bible. If you read this, this is what was promised. This is the outpouring. This has started. And then, I've got that here. Yeah. Let me explain to you, he says, these people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And he explained this phenomenon as best as he could. And then he remembered the keys. Remember, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys. On this confession, I'll build my church. And he remembered what that confession was. And he began to tell them, Jesus came to be king, came to be Lord, Messiah and Christ, and you crucified him. And so strong was those words, so strong was the conviction, so strong was the presence of God at this time, that rather than, as they, you know, just a couple of months earlier, they were happy to crucify him, all of a sudden it was, revelation came into their heart. What have we done? What have we done? We killed the Messiah, the Christ. It was an emotional, heartfelt response. And Peter remembers the keys of the kingdom. And he says, "What have I got to do? What are we going to do? We've killed the Messiah." He says, "Repent. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit." Normal New Testament gospel message. Most of us reduce repentance. Most of us don't talk on baptism. And we hardly ever mention baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was normal New Testament message. The revelation of who Jesus was, it unlocked heaven to thousands of not yet Christians. That's power. That's authority. Scripture tells us 3,000 responded in one day. The birth of the church. Jerusalem knew about it. How much does Reading know about the church in this town? Let me move on quickly. At the end of the chapter, we read these words. So this 3,000 plus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That was Jesus' church. That's what he had in mind. Powerful, loving, imperfect. But it touched lives and it turned the city upside down. In closing, three things I notice. This church was full of life. Did you pick that up? I don't pick up it was like, oh, I've got to go home and watch my video games and play on the computer and I'll be upstairs in my bedroom. I don't pick it up that the main thing in life was to just finish work and watch TV. What I see here is a love for God and for each other. They were happy. They loved eating together. They were hospitable. They invited people round. They broke bread when they had their meals together. They praised God. They were a happy bunch. Imagine that, the church being a happy bunch. People liked to come and be with them. They were devoted. They were committed to God. They were committed to prayer. If they had a prayer and fasting day, well, one day wouldn't have been enough. But if they had that day, everyone would have been there, fasting and praying, because they were devoted to that. They were devoted to the teaching of the leaders. They wanted to grasp it. They wanted to understand. And they broke bread together. I see just life flowing, new life flowing. I don't pick up, you ought to go to church. I don't pick up, you have to read your Bible. I don't pick up any legalism or rules. I just pick up life flowing from heaven. They wanted to. They wanted to. And they loved praising God and being with each other. They did it gladly, overflowing life. I pick that up from those verses. I see a church full of love. Not only did they show love by spending time with each other. You know, we say we love each other, but we never see each other all week. Just come on Sunday, but I love each other. No, 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 no. If you love each other, you're going to spend time with each other. We're going to meet together because we love each other. And I see that here. But they didn't just eat together and meet together. They looked out for each other's needs. They sold possessions, extras, to provide the needs of those that didn't have. It was a higher level of community. They were freed from their hold of possessions. What's mine is yours. What's yours is mine. It was an expression of community we know less about in our culture here. And what a testimony it will be when one Sunday I just turn up in Craig's new Mercedes, because what's his is mine and what's mine is his. And he says, you can have it, here's the keys. Somebody in the church used to service my bike, and I got a message one day and it said, I'm not servicing it, Nev, I've got you another bike. I bought you a new one. It just happened. He bought me a new bike and replaced the old one with new. That's love, isn't it? And we see that sort of love just expressed in this church here. Unity, one heart. No negativity, no judgments. Just loving each other and loving to be together and protecting each other. And lastly, full of presence and power. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. Signs, wonders, healings. A sense of awe I don't think that was just when they met on Sundays. I think there was a sense of awe as they went around being church. A sense of the presence of God was with them. And they were filled with that sense of his presence. And that's why conviction fell so easily. And that's why every day souls were being saved. Every day. Signs and wonders were performed. Kingdom of God, power, not just words. Healings led to many being saved. It all had that focus on the whole gospel being expressed. Signs and wonders became the door for them to share the gospel. We need to pray. We need to believe God for miracles in our everyday life as well as when we gather together. So, do you get what I'm saying? Church full of life. Thank God for what we've tasted. Church full of love. Thank God for what we've tasted. A church full of presence and power. Thank God for what we've tasted. But this isn't that. This isn't that. Would you agree? There's got to be more. There's got to be more. So that's my message. We're not going to settle. We're on a journey. There's much more to come. I want to say, church, don't be satisfied. You can't change me. Only I can change me. You take responsibility for yourself. And if I change and you change, everything changes. And it's not about being big church. Some people say, oh, you're interested in big church, bums on seats. No. It's about impacting towns, cities, and nations with the kingdom of God. It's about transformation. It's about raising disciples who are going to disciple others to impact their offices and their schools and the university and their workplaces so that we see his life touching lives. People coming to God, willingly, gladly repenting, being baptized, leaving that old behind, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe we owe it, one more thinking, I believe we owe it to the Lord to push through. I believe we owe it to Reading to push through. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.